You're listening to the Wesley Seminary Podcast. Your host today is Dr. Aaron Perry, Associate Professor of Pastoral Theology and Leadership.
You might be in that spot now when a crisis is over or a draining season is over or even a period of success is over and you have been running fast and burning bright and now it seems that you're coming down. Seems that maybe it feels a bit like it's mellowing out or even bottoming out. Maybe even in the midst of COVID and all the changes that you had to go through and all the changes that you had to lead your church through, and you were feeling strong, and now you are feeling maybe weak, maybe tired, or maybe that you just don't even care. Today's guest is a very good friend of mine. He is a Wesleyan pastor at the Yarmouth Wesleyan Church. He is dad to four kids. He is husband to another friend of mine, Liz. It is Reverend Mark Brewer. Mark describes a time in his life and ministry and church leadership as completely apathetic, and he didn't even care that it was apathetic. As I've watched Mark go through his story, and I've watched him and his family navigate this time with God supervening and providentially caring in the midst of all of it, I have been watching with appreciation and admiration, and I knew that God was telling a story that I wanted to share with our podcast listeners. Tune in to this episode. I think you're going to enjoy it as you hear the story of a fellow minister and pastor who went through a time that was completely apathetic, and he didn't care it was apathetic, and God brought him through. Stay tuned for a word from our sponsor, and then enjoy the podcast.
We are Wesley, and you belong here.
My name is Victoria Borum, and I am Wesley.
I'm Lenny Lucetti, and I am Wesley.
My name is Chris, and guess what? I am Wesley.
Hi, I'm Tina Shappett, and I am Wesley.
We recognize this beautiful diversity that the Lord has called together that is Wesley.
My name is Corey Merritt, and I am Wesley.
I am Wayne Brown, and I am Wesley.
I am Colleen Durr. And I belong here. You belong here too, because we are Wesley.
Welcome to the Wesley Seminary Podcast, Mark. I'm glad you're here.
It is good to be here. We're finally making this happen.
It's happening. You know, it only took 3 or 4 months for us to get a time, because we're very busy. We're very important people.
We have illustrious careers, we're hard to nail down.
That's right. I couldn't even get my people to talk to your people to make this work out. So that's how busy it was. You know, today, we're recording this on a Thursday. Do you ever come to a point in the week when you're like, oh my goodness, it's Thursday? And I was like, I woke up today. I was like, man, I've already had 3 days of the work week gone. It's Thursday. And then I was like, oh my goodness, it's August. And then I was like, but I've been home for like 5 months. Like, it's like I've been home for the last 5 weeks and all this time caught up to me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's all gone.
Yeah, it was, fun fact, it was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday.
And so for the first time, I think ever in my ministry career, I took the day off. I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm taking the day off.
Thinner.
And it was great. But it convinced me that it was made like my day off all day. So I woke up today thinking, oh, it must be Saturday. And no, it is a Thursday. And so here I am in my office because it is a weekday.
It is Thursday. And the Wesley Seminary Podcast drops on Thursday. So interestingly, people might even be listening to this on Thursday.
Wow.
And you know what? Maybe this is like providential that recording it on a Thursday, because like I said, I woke up, I was like, oh my goodness, it's Thursday. I can't believe it. And then I was like, wait a second, it's August. And I was like, man, it's like the last 5 months have slowly crawled by at a wicked fast pace. Maybe that's how I'd say it. The time has crawled by at a wicked fast pace. And I think that, man, when I look back at some of my time in ministry, that's kind of describes it. Is like, it was wicked slow and wicked fast all at once. Like all the stuff that was happening and going and all the way that you're trying to just stay fueled up spiritually and with practical know-how and leadership, it's like that stuff is going fast, and then all the other stuff that is like a challenge and a trial and difficulty, it's like that stuff crawls, right? It's like this kind of paradox of time. And I know that, you know, in part of your own story, you were describing, I mean, I certainly walked from an outside as like, man, Mark is doing great stuff, important stuff, leading at a high level. And then you described coming into this time where you just didn't care anymore. And I'd love for you just to tell us a little bit about that experience and tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, those words were mine that I gave you, that I didn't care anymore, which I think I'll elaborate on that a little bit. It was really just a sense of not knowing how I was feeling in almost any capacity. If someone were to say, hey, are you feeling tired? I don't know. Are you feeling energy today? Are you happy today? Are you sad today? I don't know. It's like the compass that's supposed to point you towards, yes, you feel good, or you feel energetic, or you feel whatever, was just kind of spinning. And I couldn't pinpoint my energy levels. I couldn't pinpoint my emotions. And I just lacked motivation to get up with any sense of passion or excitement about whether it was my own ministry job or whether it was time with my family or whatever the case was. I just was not feeling it, whatever it was, because I didn't even know how I felt.
So we sometimes use the word apathy to describe like a malaise or a being down. And I hear you say it was really apathy in the sense that I just didn't feel like I didn't know what I was feeling. I couldn't point you to how I was doing. I didn't have a read on my own state of being in life.
Yeah. And it's very disorienting to not be able to pinpoint, right? When you look at your phone's battery level, there's like a little picture of it, and you know, hey, 20% starting to get red, 80% in the green. And if you had a said kind of paint in where you think you are, no clue. And that was one of the moments where it dawned on me, like, oh, I don't think that's probably great.
So you're leading in a church. Your church is in a great city. It's a great church. You'd been at your church for how long? How long had you been at your church?
It was about 14 years. It was first church out of Bible college, the only church I had ever been in.
And you had gone from youth pastor to assistant to senior pastor. And you've definitely got talents and gifts in ministry, great communicator, strong leader, very likable, if I would say, likable person. and you know, maybe from the outside, you've got people that are seeing all these things seem to be put together. Like you've got, you know, to use the Tommy Boy reference, or the Chris Farley reference, you know, you grab the world by the tail and pull it down and put it in your pocket, right? Like everything is going for you in ministry, and yet your family, you know, got a great family, like it's all there, and yet you're feeling this kind of numbness.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to trick people, and I use trick in an unintentional way. You can accidentally communicate to people that things are great because of stuff like social media or whatever. And so if we had a great Sunday, you know, I'd throw that online to kind of, I don't know whether I was trying to convince myself, hey, that was great, we should celebrate it, or if it was a way of saying, maybe the way I'm feeling isn't indicative, you know, maybe that's not reality. Things are good, and so I should be good. Mm. But you can put yourself out there in a public forum that seems to communicate to people, oh, he is great, he's happy, things are going well, right? Like it and when it comes out that it's not, it's shocking. Yeah. Well, the only reason it's shocking is because people are convinced that you're fine.
And I think that's one of the challenges that pastors have, is that so much of the life is lived in public, and so much of the ways that we have learned to lead is through persona, and that's a whole other subject. But through a kind of projection of what of a self, and we hope that it's grounded in Christ, and that it's built on solid practices and held together by good rhythms and routines. But, you know, there's lots of people that they have to put on a face to go to work. And that's just the way of it. But it can feel like as a pastor, well, if I'm doing that, then I'm not being genuine, right? And if I'm not being genuine and following Jesus, then I'm hypocritical. And if I'm hypocritical, then, you know, that's about the worst thing you can be from the world's perspective as a Christian, to be a hypocritical Christian. And man, like, I talk to pastors and like the pressure that they feel on themselves, one, to actually describe at least faithfully how things are going in their church. And the way we do that is often with social media, and to describe what's going on in our services or the actions. But then internally they can say, man, if I'm putting on this face, or if I'm putting on this persona, like, what's actually happening inside me? And it's like they feel a double weight, especially when there's success, right? Especially when there's very clear markers of success, like growth and attendance and optimism and baptisms and all these things. And then it's like a double pressure that keep the success going and keep things together internally, even if the internal life isn't seeming to match the professional life.
Yeah. And you hear a lot of people talk about like the pain of failure, the pain of, you know, I'm really struggling through, my church isn't growing, I'm struggling through, you know, difficulties in my life, my ministry, my leadership, whatever. We don't talk about the pain of success.
Yeah.
We don't talk about the pressure and the complications that things going well actually brings into your life. Because, you know, if you are juggling an organization of a certain size and then you grew it, well, now you've actually got more on your plate, and then there's the pressure to keep it going. And we live in a strange world where if you do well, then you will be asked to do more, and then your face will show up in more places and you will hit more stages. And it feeds kind of that whole system of rewarding success, which only amps up the pressure to keep the appearance of success moving forward, because obviously it's the successful people that we are applauding and putting on our platforms. And no one wants to be the guy who's like, just joking, guys. Like, I'm a wreck. Get me off of this stage, right? Like, oh, we love it. Keep it going.
Well, and you know, there's a few things that it's absolutely rejected that Christians should become addicted to. One of the things that Christian leaders, it's acceptable for us to get addicted to, is adrenaline. And so we can push at levels that our bodies just have to respond. And they can respond by pumping more and more adrenaline into our bodies. And so we take certain risks and we push higher paces. And that's what starts to fuel and feed the ability to keep going, right? It's like if we were to slow down, then we would start to address some of the pain or apathy, right? We would start to realize, oh, I am disoriented. But if we keep pushing ahead, then at least I know the direction. I don't know if it's north or south, but I know it's ahead, right? And then I've got fuel, I've got adrenaline to keep pushing ahead. I don't know what direction is, except I know it's ahead. And we can even applaud, like you said, adrenaline. And we never put up on stage, we always put up extraordinary people and extraordinary stories. And what that communicates is, oh, that's the norm. Well, it actually isn't. It might be somebody to learn from. It might be somebody to celebrate. It might be a situation that God is doing to celebrate, but it probably isn't the norm, right? It's abnormal. And that's why we want to learn. Instead, we think like, oh, that's what I should be doing. That's what I should be experiencing. All right. I want to bring it back to this picture. So you said, you know, the image that you're giving in social media and around and to the best of your ability is things are going well. It's together. We're with it. Look at the church. And from the outside perspective, all that's going well. How did you start to maybe realize like, oh, I actually don't have a finger on the pulse of my own life? How did you start to realize that was real for you?
Yeah, I think it was kind of throughout that fall and heading into Christmas that there was just some challenges going on at the church. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing extreme, but they were really weighing on me in a way that challenges hadn't usually weighed me. And I found myself just with way less patience than usual. You know, I'm not a conflict oriented person. But I found myself almost being like, all right, let's fight. Let's do this, right? Like it just is not myself at all. Mm. And we were kind of making some decisions about certain things. And I found myself just kind of defaulting to, oh, I don't care. Well, okay, whatever. But knowing the whole time, I think God is calling us into a different season. I think we need to make some changes. I think we need to pursue kind of health in you know, just a different kind of vision for things, which perhaps all along was really the way I was feeling about myself more than I was the church. But like many pastors, we get those things completely overlapped a lot of the time.
And so
I knew I wasn't feeling well for a variety of reasons. And eventually it was literally first day back in the office after the new year, very early January, and hopped on a call with another colleague of mine who pastors in the area, kind of in the Maritimes, who I knew had wrestled with depression and anxiety and some of these things, and told him how I was feeling. And he was like, you need to go see a doctor, like immediately, like hang up the call right now, call a doctor. And so that was kind of the final, like, oh, okay, I think I'll do that.
So you said that you could have maybe less patience and maybe even have a sense of conflict orientation. How did the person communicate that to you from what they saw, right? Like they saw, okay, maybe, and you disclosed it, right? Like you had seen it. How did they say that to you in a way that you didn't react with frustration, or you didn't react with, you know, just a desire to fight about it? How were they, were they disarming, or how did they communicate that to you?
It's a guy I've got a pretty close relationship with, and I know him to be pretty blunt and outspoken, and so knew I would get a very honest answer and wasn't disappointed when I got it. And in, I guess in a roundabout way, was relieving to finally have that kind of affirming sense of, yeah, no, something is wrong, and you probably should do something about it. I felt more relief than I did kind of anger.
So you get this word brought to you by a trusted colleague and friend who had earned the right to speak into your life and tell you what they were seeing and maybe put back to you what you had shared with him. What did you do next?
I literally called the doctor. I despise the phone and will avoid it at every opportunity. But I kind of clicked the goodbye on my computer from that conversation. Called my doctor, told him what was going on, and they literally had me in the next day, which, hey, kudos to them. They weren't messing around. And so within 24 hours, I was in my doctor's office and kind of unloading all the same things to him.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, you were in a great city at the time, and that's part of their infrastructure. But I know that, you know, that would probably take some effort and work on their behalf to have made that possible. And like you said, kudos to them listening and paying attention to this as an issue. And I think that's one of the things that the church is awakening to is, man, some of these are more urgent problems than we thought. You know, my mom once said to me, super wise, she said, when you get sick in your stomach, you usually act quickly about it. When you get sick, like in your kidneys, like you want to act quickly about it. You know, whenever, you know, there's blood in places there's not supposed to be blood, or pain when there's not supposed to be pain. But, you know, especially sometimes when we think about things that have to do with our spirit, or we feel them in our spirit, like it's not a literal headache, but it's partially to do with our brain. It's partially to do with just our overall pace of life. Then we can maybe push those off and say, well, I'll deal with that, you know, then, or I'll deal with that after this. It doesn't have the sense of urgency, but clearly your medical doctor realized it was, and kudos to you for saying, yeah, I gotta make a call here. And I think that that's one of the things that the church is growing in is, these issues are ones that we should attend to, and attend to not when we get around to it, but attend to them when the Lord starts to put his finger on these issues in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great point. The whole, we know that it's important, but we rarely treat it as urgent. And perhaps it's a both and.
So you go to the doctor, unfold your story for us. Mm-hmm. What was some of the process that started to emerge out of that meeting?
Yeah. So, I kind of unloaded everything to him, and I assumed, hey, you're depressed. This sounds like depression. I'll write you a prescription, start medication. You'll be in the office tomorrow. This will be great. And so I was quite shocked to hear him say, I don't think you're depressed. I think you're burned out. He said, I think you're 150% burned out. Kind of a classic case. And he said, you need to be off work. I would recommend 3 to 6 months in your circumstance and based on what I'm hearing. And he said, you know, is that a feasible thing? Like, are you in a job where that's even possible? And so huge credit to, you know, I called our DS, which is Peter Moore, and gave him the exact same kind of rundown.
So DS is district superintendent or bishop for other, traditions.
Bishop Peter Moore of the Atlantic District. And kudos to him was like, yeah, okay, well, consider yourself done. Don't go back to work. Like, tomorrow, don't go back to work. Consider yourself off. We'll handle the details. We'll take it from here. And so really, especially in hindsight, really feel blessed to have had the support system in place with friends and professionals to even allow for something like that. But that was the beginning of being home for a number of months. And the journey begins. Part of what I was supposed to do for the Wesleyan district was get in touch with a counselor who is a member of a Wesleyan church and a professor at Kingswood years ago. But he's got his own practice in New Brunswick, specifically for, a lot of it is for ministry professionals who need counsel. And so began sessions with him, kind of multiple weekend sessions of doing some really deep work and finding out there was kind of far more going on beneath the surface that I had never worked on or worked through. And so classic case of like, I think I'm in good shape. And then you go to a counselor and you're like, oh, I guess I'm a wreck. Learned all kinds of stuff about myself.
Well, I'd like to delve into that a little bit. I mean, there's one of the phrases that my wife and I use with our kids, and it's, they're doing exactly what we would expect. And so you say, you know, I think I'm in good shape, or you find out like, oh, I'm a wreck. And I'm like, I'm going to phrase this as a statement, but it really is a question. I'll try and phrase it as a question at the end. Is, after being 14 years in a church and a church that you love and a church that you have given your best to, and a church that is encouraging and affirming and promoting you and following your lead, and, you know, there's a lot of success happening, there's growth happening, like you said, there's more and more responsibility, not just professionally in the context that you're working in, but also collegially, like there's more expectation that you're going to be leading at wider levels and having influence and investing in other people that are coming along behind you. And I'm like, well, you do that for 14 years on a kind of a ramped up basis, and if you're not deeply regimented in Sabbath keeping, in vacation and actual vacation, where it's like you're not getting a call 2 out of the 7 days that you're on vacation, or 6 out of the 14, or whatever it is, you know, you're not regimented in Sabbath keeping and vacation and even hobbies, right? Just avocational stuff. Well, you're probably, it seems to me that where you were after those 14 years of all those good things is exactly where you would expect to be. Is like tired, burned out, you know, no finger on your own pulse. Would you say that, man, yeah, I was exactly where you would expect me to be. Would that be a fair way to say it? Or would you say something different?
No, you're bang on, especially in hindsight, looking back at some of the circumstances of those 14 years, things that I endured but didn't work through, losses that I didn't grieve. You know, like you said, decisions I made about my personal time that I didn't take seriously. It was really it's never a big moment. It's never like, oh man, did I break down in January? It's, oh, I was breaking down for 14 years. But instead of doing the things that are supposed to heal you along the way and assist you along the way, you just power through, right? Because that's what you do.
Well, and I think back, and you know, I try to take a macro view or like an objective view, and that's not really fair because you and I mean, we've been friends for a long time. I definitely see some things, some similarities, and some things I've learned from you that I'm like, man, I wish I could be more like that. And there's some things that I'm like, Mark should really learn this from me. I'm just no, okay. But I'm like, and you know, we have similar training. We go to college together, and the same heroes are presented to us. And it's all with the best of intentions and with smart people and wise people, and they're doing their best. But it's hard to get outside your own tradition, right? And so So some of the people that we were like, well, that's just how you do it, is like, well, that is how you do it. Like you push through, you power through, you get things in the right order, and you make sacrifices. And if it's gonna be worth the while, it's gonna have some pain along the way. And like, and it's hard to step outside yourself to look at your own life. And for me, whenever I would have people that would speak caringly and say, dude, you got to slow down, or you got to do this differently, I'd be like, why in the world are you getting in my way? Why are you trying to make my life difficult? Like, my life's already difficult. My responsibilities. Why are you trying to take away? Why are you trying to give me less time to work? Right? Why are you trying to put these boundaries up? And mm-hmm. and I'm like, grace of God that, you know, there's my life doesn't fall apart at times, you know, because I know I'm tempted to keep on going that, and I need some boundaries to keep it together. And it's weird that sometimes the people that are getting on my nerves because of what they're telling me, I'm like, oh, that's the grace of God in my life. God is being kind to me in this.
Yeah. And one of the things I've learned is that the temptation in those moments is to think like, well, you should take your day off seriously, or you should take this vacation time. And you think, well, I'm not tired. Right. And so there's this picture of, well, it's the classic case of, when is the best time to fix a leaky roof? Well, when it's not raining, right? And so this picture of when's the best time to take care of your health is it's before you hurt, before it's out of sync. And so instead of saying, well, I'm not tired, but I should take a vacation because that's what healthy maintenance looks like, instead say things like, I'm not tired yet, so I think I'm probably fine to keep working. I don't feel down, and so I'm probably okay to continue on in the patterns that I've built into my life, and I'll wait till I feel something to fix it. But at that point, you're too late.
And let me toss another thought by you and get your take on it. I think about, like, even just my body. Like, it has taken me a long time, but I'm trying to get to the point where, well, I can stop eating before I feel full. Right? Because I know I'm going to get full. I know that. I know.
Really? Can you?
I know. Wait, are you saying that I would never get full?
Hold on.
Hold on. I know what you're saying. Yeah. So I can, I know I'm going to feel full. So I just got to stop eating a little bit before I get there. And here's kind of like the switch I want to make is, I think pastors and people who are in leadership in the church, even maybe especially lay leaders at different ways, they love the church. They love God. They're doing really meaningful work. They're interacting with the Bible, and they love learning about the Bible, and they love teaching. And so it's like this consistent fullness that they've got, but they don't stop to think, oh, I'm going to get hungry in a different way over time. All right. I'm going to get hungry, and I need to actually kind of have that reversal. So if I'm stopping eating before I get full, it's like, because we're just consistently full with all this meaningful, good stuff that we're doing, we have to realize, well, we're full because we've just been eating all the time. And we actually have to take a time not to eat, you know, this good stuff. And that's kind of like, you know, that's a fasting, that's a Sabbath day, that's a vacation. You know, we're taking a break from all really good stuff. And you say it is really good stuff, but I know I shouldn't keep eating all the time. Is that, I'm just testing it out. I've never thought of it like that. Does that picture make sense?
And I would say, to keep pushing the metaphor, I think sometimes when we feel hungry, we'll grab what's quick and easy, which is often unhealthy, but it satisfied my temporary hunger. So I'm hungry, so I'll grab a chocolate bar, or I'll go get fast food.
Yeah.
And it satisfied my hunger briefly, but it was actually in the long run really not good for me compared to what I should have eaten. And I think we do that with our health and with our time. And I'm tired, so I'll just pound some more coffee down.
Yeah.
Or I'm tired, but I'll keep pushing through whatever, right? And so we even have things for our own health and wellness that are really junk food, and they might fix temporarily the issue, but they really only exacerbate the actual thing.
So God bless your leadership. Okay. God bless the leadership in your in the denominational structure and your church, and they say, okay, Pastor Mark's not coming back to work, and that void is kind of getting filled. Somebody else is filling it because you've left and you're doing what you've been told to do by professionals, and now you're with your family. I'd love to hear, how did that impact, or how did the, what was the dynamic like of your family whenever suddenly you've made this radical shift in your life and now that you're with them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Initially, really wrestling through even a lot of guilt, like, oh man, I'm home and other people are working for me and I'm getting paid still. And there was this like tremendous, like you would think initially, oh, the pressure should have been relieved and I should have felt great and I'm home for a bit. But those first little, I don't know, first few weeks even or longer were actually really hard. And I felt guilty and I felt bad. I felt irresponsible. I felt like I had let people down, including my family, my kids. I've got three girls who are, I mean, at the time, I guess they would have been kind of the tween age, 9, 11, 13, 15. I don't know how old my kids are. There's so many of them, but they were actually paranoid. They were like, oh no, you know, they were happy that dad was home, that dad was getting rest, that dad was obeying the doctor's orders. But they're still, for them, I mean, we're talking 2 years later, they're like, dad, do you need to like have a vacation? Should you stay home today? Are you tired? You should relax, right? Like, so there was this real family sense of, wow, we all got to take care of one another. Wow. And we all need to look out for this, which I think in now feels beneficial. But then again, like I said, I even felt bad, like, oh, now my kids are worried about me. Like my kids are freaking out, like, ah, oh, I shouldn't have done this. But now in hindsight, looking back, hopefully that has also helped building in them this picture of, oh, rest is really important. And as a family, we should look out for each other.
Before we came on, I was sharing one of the things I think that is important is just language and how we describe things. And I said, it wasn't a step back and it wasn't a step down. It was a step ahead, right? Mm-hmm. It was a step forward in what was going to be a good result, right? It was going to be a step towards health and a step towards fruitfulness and thriving and joy and all these things. And I think that, that's been part of the story as it's gone, right? Like the treatment that was prescribed for you and the path that was laid out and the ways that you and your family faithfully walked it had good results. You know, it wasn't a spiral out of control. It was like it was spiraling out of control. And this was the steps away from that chaos. Talk to us about how did you start to realize that maybe you were in a different place and ready to step ahead and beyond the time of rest and being away? How did you know that you were starting to feel better?
Oh yeah. I would say counseling was a huge part of that. And my time learning how to work through some significant ministry pain that I had ignored, was super beneficial in getting me healthy. The process of grieving, I learned about that and its significance in, we often think grieving is for when you lose a loved one, but it's really the process of grieving through any loss. And I had experienced loss in ministry and relationships, with dreams, with aspirations, just all these things. And, and so the more I learned how to grieve through these certain circumstances, both in personally with family, and ministry wise, professionally, began to just feel like I could think clearly again. Kind of the fog started to lift somewhat and knew, like, 2 or 3 months in, I felt incredibly exhausted, like really tired, and told that to my counselor almost in a frustrated, like, man, I'm 3 months in and I'm super tired. And he's like, actually, that's really good, because 3 months ago you didn't know how you felt. So your body is actually healing. Yep. So yep. That you know, oh, your compass is working again. This is what tired feels like. Yep. And there was a lot of, mental work being done and spiritual work, which is exhausting. But the fact that my body and head knew that I was exhausted was a great sign. And so really began to talk with my wife, Liz, about what's best for us. And we went on a vacation. We got to sit at a beach, and the ocean has always been a place of healing for us. We've always lived kind of near or around-ish the ocean, a few hours away. And that was the best I had felt in years, literally, sitting on the beach with my wife, no responsibility. There was no children around. It was just and for the first time felt peace and clarity and lightness, and looked at my wife and said, what do we need to build into our life so that this happens consistently? How do we take what we're feeling on this trip home with us so that this sense of health and rest and lightness isn't just a thing that is reserved for vacation, but is built into the ongoing patterns of our family?
Yeah. And
that's when we began to have conversations about the future and job roles, and all of those kinds of things started to come up as we explored, oh, health feels great. What can we do to make sure we keep it?
Joining us today is Reverend Mark Brewer. Mark is assistant pastor at Yarmouth Wesleyan Church in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Friend of mine, person I've learned from, learned alongside in our college career, and he's telling some of his own story. And it really is only some of the story. And I know that we have time constraints, and one of the ways that we build structures into our life is taking moments to not rush from meeting to meeting. So we're going to make sure that you have a bit of time to before you have to go into your next meeting. Mark, that's a great takeaway, actually. It's like, how do I build little bits of margin into my day so that I'm not just causing my mind and my heart to do whiplash? So let me finish things up like this. Put yourself in the shoes of the pastor who was where you were in January, that January when you had the phone call with your friend. And they have stayed through this whole podcast episode, and you've been a trusted voice to them. And they're saying, okay, Mark, I'm feeling pretty much the same thing. What you're describing is what I'm feeling now. What would you say to them? It might be prescriptive, as in do this. It might be more meta, as in here is what I want you to feel in your heart and to have in your mind. What would you say to that person who's where you were that January?
Yeah, I mean, I can only say what worked for me, because that's kind of my experience, but I would absolutely talk to a trusted friend or colleague or someone who is familiar with this kind of thing, whether it's mental health or spiritual health or whatever the case is. You need to talk to someone that you can trust and can confide in, who will point you in the right direction. And maybe that ends up being a medical doctor, or maybe it ends up being a whatever your leader is for whatever organization you're in. But immediately the wrong answer is, I will continue to bear this on my own. You've got to talk to someone who has the capacity and authority to point you to your next step. And I think that's what I've done for people since then, is, all right, you need to go talk to someone.
Listeners, one of the reasons I wanted to have Mark on this is that, it's too easy to, pay attention to these stories and not see them through. But Mark is one, and his family is one, that has taken the hard steps, as he said, to build the structures into his life that will sustain the good place that they are in. He's a great testimony to the January position, the waking up and it's Thursday, it's waking up and it's August, that position is not one that you need to stay in, but there is a way forward, and that God has given us resources to take those steps. So Mark, thank you for taking those steps forward and for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we scratched the surface there a little bit, to kind of give some closure to the story. We actually ended up resigning from our job. We moved to a different corner of the Maritimes in Canada. I'm a staff pastor instead of a lead pastor. We're in a smaller community. I can see the ocean from my house, which God is kind. And it's been really good. And like you said, it was a step forward. We're tempted to talk about these things like, and I have referred to it as this, and learned not to, almost like a demotion, right? Like, oh, you were a lead pastor of a church for 7 years and now you're a staff guy. Like, what went wrong is the picture. Why? What did you do? And I don't know, seasons are a good thing. And wow, this has been a good one for me. And we feel great. And that was part of what was healthy for us that we needed to build in. I go to bed at night without the entire weight of a church on my shoulder. And that was a rest that I needed. Will I go back to it someday? I have no idea. But I've been able to set aside those kind of ministry I don't know what we call them, but just those pictures of success, and have been able to say, like, no, success is faithfulness, and success is health, and success is taking care of these other things. And it's been good, and God has been very kind and faithful to us.
Praise God. And I really mean that. It is a doxological moment that is the glory of God. And it really is. The glory of God is at work in stories like this. And I think I would like listeners to know that God's at work before the happy ending and the good outcome all comes to be seen, right? God was at work even before the January moment, right, to sustain. Yeah. And wherever you are, maybe Mark's story helps to illuminate your own story. I promise that God is at work, and find people, as Mark said, that will help you see where and how is God at work. And then be humble to submit yourself to the word of God, whether it comes through a friend or through another professional, or however God would grace your life, is be humble to heed that word and attend to it. Thanks so much, Mark, for joining us on the podcast today.
Hey, man, this was awesome. Glad we had the chance to do it. And I'm happy to talk to anyone who has questions or wants to have a conversation. So if they get a hold of you, you can point them to me. But it's been great.
Take Mark up on his offer. Maybe Mark is the grace of God in your life. Mark, and you have been the grace of God in many people's lives, and including my own, and I know in your family too. So thanks for tuning in with us. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Thanks, Cam, for your production work. Listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast episode, please like and subscribe. Upvote us on whatever social media or whatever podcast platform you access us, and share it around with others. It'll help hopefully others be introduced to topics and resources for fruitful ministry in due season, to use Mark's phrase. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, listeners. Thanks, Cam. Trust everybody to have a great day.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the name Wesley Seminary.